thank God for saving sinners. I do thank God for that. And I can remember my brother being lost. I can remember having a burden for my brother. And if you'd have heard me pray, you'd have probably thought I was a heretic or blasphemous. But I talked to God from my heart. I told God what was on my heart. He heard my heart anyhow. So I just had to be honest with him and tell him what I thought about my brother. That's right. I told him what I thought about the things he was doing and what I wish the Lord would do with those things that he was doing. That's right. Amen. And you know what? It wasn't the prettiest prayer. It wasn't the most common prayer. But I'm glad, thank God, when this poor man cried, the Lord heard him. Amen. 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 I'm glad he heard me. That's right. And I'm glad there's another family in America that's attending church, living for God, reading their Bible, praying, raising their family right. I'm just glad for that. Amen. I'm glad for that. I thank God. I asked Brother McVeigh, leave me alone. Don't bother me. I get to preach 2-3 times a week and then, you know, preach to my wife and kids all during the week. And just leave me alone. Man, I need to come up there and, you know, I have to travel 81 north to get there. I'm not ready to preach. I'm, you know, man, I got to repent after traveling 81 north. What do you get when you ask a man to leave you alone? The first night of the meeting, you know, they tell you your son's going to preach and then he calls on you. So here we go. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, please.
Can you give that thing out of your ear,
brother? Brother, as big as my ear is, you can hang a Christmas tree on it. It may not be right, but as big as it is, it's going to hang in there. I could have just took what Brother Asquith gave us and went home with that. That was a blessing to me, thank God.
Amen.
That quenching and grieving and just listening, hearing the voice of God. You know, if you hear the Word of God and it speaks to your heart, the Word of God, you don't have to wish and wonder. It's the Word of God. I told the congregation the other day, if this little crowd running around with the WWJD bracelets and the WWJD shirts and the little pretty little girly WWJD necklaces, and you know, they probably got WWJD around the lace of their little drawers. And you know, if you want to know what Jesus would do, pick your Bible up and read it, because what he would do is recorded in the blessed book. Amen. If you want to know what God's thinking, pick your Bible up and read it, because one day God said, I'm going to give them people a piece of my mind. And when he did, he gave us a King James Bible. Amen. That's the mind of Christ. You want to know what God's thinking? It's in the Bible. You want to know what Jesus would do? Read your Bible. It's all in the blessed book. Amen. I'm going to read you this, and I'll try to be quick and sensitive and sit down. But Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 says this: to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. He said in verse 5, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in all that wherein he laboreth? When I read this passage here, I see a lot of things happening in a lot of time. And I see a lot of things changing. I mean, I see the emotions go from laughing to crying, and we go from dancing to, and we go from mourning to laughing, and we just go through all these changes in life. And when I read that, I was just, for some reason, I was coming up the road, and Ecclesiastes 3 came on my heart, and I just turned over there riding up the road today and began to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and the thoughts was entering my mind about all these changes that's taking place in this time, and how things in our life changes over a period of time. And it don't take a long period of time, just through the process of a day. Things change from one moment to the next. But as I was reading it today, I was thinking, I want to thank God for the things that don't change. Amen. I want to thank God for the Word of God that don't change. I'm glad there's some things in this blessed book that never does change. I'm glad we serve a God that does not change. I'm glad the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm just glad tonight, thank God, that we're serving a God that's always the same. Thank God He's not up one day and down the next. He's our God, and He's the same God that died for my soul. He's the same God that hung His Son on the cross. He's the same Jesus. I'm telling you, I want to thank God that Jesus Christ does not change. This world might change. Our ideas might change. Our ways might change. But we serve a God, thank God, change. It just ain't gonna change. I'm glad, thank God, that Jesus don't. I'm glad the Word of God don't change. I'm glad the Bible says that forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. I'm glad the Word of God don't change. I'm telling you, church, I don't believe it's time to change with the ways of this world. I don't believe it's time to compromise in the sin of this world. I don't believe it's time to sympathize with the wickedness of this world. But I'll tell you what I do believe. I believe we serve a God that's always the same, and we ought to serve Him like there ain't no tomorrow, and not change on that. Amen. Stay with God. Stay with the Word of God. Just go with the precious book of God. I'm glad that God don't change, that the Word don't change. Amen. I'm glad the will of God don't change. Amen. Amen. Right. It's not His will that any should perish, yes, but that all might come to repentance. I tell you, there is a change that some of us need to make. We need to pass from death unto life. You hear me? I believe there's people that need to make a change in their attitude, but there's people that needs to make a change in their eternal abode. There's people sitting in the congregation today. It would do you well to become a new creation in Christ. It would do you well to serve the Lord. It would do you well to change your direction and be a creation created new in the Lord Jesus. It would do you well.
Yes, thank you.
I'm so glad, thank God, for the change that Jesus brought in my life. I'm glad that the city of refuge has not changed. I'm glad that we still serve a God that's sitting on a throne that's still saving sinners. I'm glad, thank God, that we can still come to the church and lift up our voice and sing His praise. I'm glad, thank God, as I read the book of Revelation, and it said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and which was and which is to come. I'm telling you, church, thank God, He always was holy. He still is holy. He forever shall be holy. I'm glad, thank God, that don't change. We serve a holy God. I'm telling you, we can all stand and say, worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb to receive praise and honor and glory. I'm telling you, thank God, the holiness of God will never change. Amen. Never change. Well,
yes, sir.
To everything there is a season. Thank God this old world might change, this life might change, our families might change, but thank God we serve a faithful God.
Amen.
That does not change.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
His blessings is still there. Amen. Yes, His goodness is still there. Father, we thank You for this day.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
I thank You, dear Lord Jesus, for the change that You brought in my life. I thank You, Lord, for the change that You've brought in every lost person's life. Lord, I pray, God, that You'd help us now, Lord, to be sensitive and obedient to the Lord this week. And God, the areas in our lives that need change, and I pray, God, that You'd take the precious Word of God and shine it into our hearts. And Lord, reveal to us what we need. Reveal to us where we at. Reveal to us, blessed God, the condition of our heart. I pray, blessed Lord, that You'd meet every need here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Go to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I want to just read verse 1. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. First off, we find that Apostle Paul is the writer here in the book of Romans, and Apostle Paul was the one who was saved on the road to Damascus. And Apostle Paul, ladies and gentlemen, before he was born again, he persecuted the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God raised this man up to be used of God greatly. And the Bible says that that Apostle Paul was separated from his mother's womb to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says that he was separated unto the gospel of God. And that's the word I want to look at tonight, is that he was separated unto the gospel of God. If you have your Bible, go to the book of Numbers chapter 1. Numbers chapter 1. And here you're going to find the Levites, how God is numbering all the tribes of Israel. He goes down through Gad and Dan and all the rest of them, and he numbers every one of them. But here in the book of Numbers, chapter 1, verse 47, you're going to read this. But the Levites, after the tribe of their fathers, were not numbered among them. For the Lord had spoken unto Moses, saying, Only thou shalt not number the tribe of Levi, neither take the sum of them among the children of Israel. But thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, and over all the vessels thereof, and over all things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle and the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it, and shall encamp round about the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle setteth forth, the Levites shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man to his own camp, and every man by his own standard throughout their hosts. But the Levites shall pitch round about the tabernacle of testimony, and there shall be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel. And the Levites shall keep the charge of the tabernacle of testimony, and the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. So you'll find here that the Levites, they're God's people, and their job basically is that they're supposed to encamp round about the tabernacle that God had set up for the sacrifices to be made. And the Levites were the people that were chosen by God to go in and be the priests and to do the job of the tabernacle and to encamp round about it, do all the work in the tabernacle and take care of all the instruments, all the vessels. That's what the Levites were commanded to do and chosen to do. And ladies and gentlemen, they were separated into this purpose. And first of all, I want you to recognize that these people are not entangled in the affairs of this world. The reason why these Israelites were being numbered is because they were numbered to go out to battle, and they were being numbered that they might be able to go out to war. But they were not entangled in the things of this world, and they were not entangled in the things of this life. Even the Bible talks about in the New Testament that he that warreth entangleth himself not in the affairs of this life. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, we have so many people and so many people in our churches that are entangled in the things of this world. Sure. Young people, if there's anything that I could say to you, don't get out of college and go buy everything that you could possibly find, because you have to fit in with the status quo of society telling you that you have to go get a brand new house, that you got to go get a brand new car and get yourself in debt, so that you have to work constantly and constantly and constantly so that you can't study your Bible and pray, and you can't go to camp meetings, and you can't get a hold of God because you're bound to this world and to the things of this world. And there's many such things like that, ladies and gentlemen. We often find ourselves entangled in the things of this life and entangled in the things of this world, and it keeps us away from God, and it keeps us away from our prayer closet, and it keeps us out of the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, we should not be caught entangled in the things of this world, and that's what the Levites were doing, ladies and gentlemen. They were separated from the things of this world. They were busy in the tabernacle of God, encamped around the tabernacle of God. Ladies and gentlemen, our lives ought to be surrounded by the church of the living God. Our lives should not be surrounded by the ball fields. Our lives should by the wrestling bats. Our lives should not be surrounded by all the community centers, ladies and gentlemen. Our lives should be surrounded by the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our lives should be surrounded by, and the preaching of the Word of God. I'm not talking about just these churches that have all this singing. He didn't say that it was the singing of the cross that was to them that perish foolishness. He said it was the preaching of the cross that was to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we have churches that want to sing and do all this other stuff. I tell you what we need in this generation is some men that will come out separated and live holy and clean and on fire for God, and will preach the word whether anybody likes it or not. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall be turned away from the truth, and these shall be turned unto fables. Ladies and gentlemen, even when it's popular to go about and tell stories and do all this other stuff, you keep preaching the word. Even when the Sodomites are running around in the streets, you just keep preaching the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, even when everybody mocks and makes fun, you just keep preaching the word of God, because it honors the Lord. That's what we need in this generation, is some people that will be surrounded in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and be found faithful to the word of God in the church.
Yes,
ladies and gentlemen, we have so many people that are caught up in the carnal things of this life. God wants us to be caught up in the spiritual things. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what God wants. This is the one thing that they had strict duties of the ministering of God in the tabernacle. You can find that in the book of Numbers chapter 3. The Bible says this, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, and they may minister unto him, and they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle, and they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. And thou shalt give the Levites and unto Aaron and to his sons, and they shall wholly give unto him out of the children of Israel. And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on the priest's office, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. Ladies and gentlemen, they had strict duties in ministry. This is the problem most of our churches, that people all the time, they want to be praised. This is what Jesus Christ told his disciples. I'll tell you who's going to be the kingdom of heaven, the greatest. It's going to be the servant. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ came to serve. He said, I come not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give my life a ransom for many. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. But ladies and gentlemen, we can't find that going on in our churches today. God wants you to be a servant to other people. God wants you to study the Word of God so that you can be able to help people. God wants you, ladies and gentlemen, to be there to be able to help each other. And the Bible says, He says, how dwell the love of God in you? If you see your brother or sister in need, you show your vows of compassion. And that not only has to do with money, that comes in spiritual needs and everything else. If you won't pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ, if you will not pray for the people in the world, how dwells the love of God in you?
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, they had strict duties that they were to minister to God. And ladies and gentlemen, God wants some young people, God wants some people in this world that will be ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can find Jesus talks about it. He said that I was naked and you clothed me not. I was hungry and you fed me not. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. And he went down the list of all that, and they said, well, when did we see you naked? When did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? He said, whenever you showed up your vows of compassion for these people. He said, that's whenever you did it. And he said, whenever I was naked and you gave me clothes, and when I was hungry and you fed me, when I was thirsty and you gave me drink, he said, then, ladies and gentlemen, that they were ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that they would enter into his kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants people that will minister. God wants people that will be servants. God wants people that want to help others around them. God wants people that will be a blessing to others.
Amen.
That's what God wants. They had strict duties to minister. That's what they did. That's what their life was surrounded by. Whenever people came in, they needed the sacrifices. That's what the Levites did. That's what their purpose, that's what their job was, to be a part of the tabernacle and to help everybody else in Israel. And they gave their lives for it. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to recognize this also. Go to the book of Numbers, chapter 18.
Sir.
Numbers chapter 18. Verse 21. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity, and it shall be a statute forever throughout your generation, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. See, they had no inheritance among the children of Israel. They had no inheritance in the land. That whenever they went over there, they had no inheritance in the land over in Canaan's land.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to recognize this. A lot of times we have our eyes on the earthly things in this life. People get caught up in the carnal things of this life. But if you'll be separated unto God, you mark this one thing down. You may not have much in this life,
yes,
but there's a heavenly gift that God's going to give you one of these days. Then it may not be in this earth. It may not be in this world. But there's a gift that God's going to give you one of these days. He said, blessed are they which persecute you and revile you and say all men are being evil and accuse you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what God's going to do for those that will be found faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to give you an inheritance that's not of this world. God's going to give you something that you cannot have, you cannot buy with money. God's going to give you something far above silver and gold, something far above rubies and diamonds. God's going to give you something far above houses and cars and land. Jesus told his disciples, they asked him, what shall we have? We've left all our houses, we've left our land, we've left everything. What shall we have? Jesus said, if you leave houses and fathers and mothers and sisters and lands, he said that it would be restored unto you a hundredfold, and you'll have 100 times the houses, 100 times the land, 100 times the brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. You'll have 100 times all that. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to tell you, my friend, is a lot of times we get caught up in this world, we get caught up in what the world's plan is for the young people's lives. We get caught up with what the college wants us to be. We get caught up with what the world tells us to be. Ladies and gentlemen, we want all the earthly goods. We want all the worldly fame. We want all the worldly money and cars and houses and lands. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all going to pass away. But Jesus Christ can give you something one of these days if you'll be a minister of Jesus Christ. That's not going to pass away.
Amen. Thank you.
That's what he's going to do. Ladies and gentlemen, you look at the life of Apostle Paul. Here's a man that was not given over to the carnal things of this world. Go to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Not given over to the carnal things. Apostle Paul was a man of God, ladies and gentlemen, and he gave his life. That's what he's trying to tell everybody. He's trying to tell that he's separated into the gospel of God. He's not going out trying to, you know, get a big bank account. He's not going out to try to earn fame in this world, but his life is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he surrounded his life by. That's what he gave everything up for, was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier.
Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul is telling us that we're not to entangle ourselves in the affairs of this life. You'll find Apostle Paul, a man that was found faithful serving the Lord Jesus Christ, not entangling himself in the affairs of this world. Apostle Paul was a man that was given over to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you want to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 2 through 4. He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find Apostle Paul is a man that was given over to the gospel of God. My, in this generation, we need some men that will roll their sleeves back and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preach it on the streets. Preach it in the churches. Preach it to your children. And that's what we need in this generation, is some people that will preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How He died, how He was buried, and how He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Ladies and gentlemen, preach how the Bible says, "But I say unto you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Preach how John was out there in the wilderness preaching and baptizing. Tell them, "Bring forth fruit meet for repentance," and preach repentance. Preach faith. Ladies and gentlemen, as Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans, that Abraham had faith and he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness' sake, and he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's the kind of faith that Abraham had. But we want to tell all these people that stagger back and forth on salvation, they don't know if they believe Jesus Christ one day. They don't know if they're saved one day, if they're not, if they're saved the next. They don't know where they stand with God. I'll tell you where you stand. You need to get born again, ladies and gentlemen. He said that He gave him a faith that he did not waver back and forth on. But he knew that he was saved, and he had assurance that he was saved by the grace of God. "These things have been written unto you, that you may know that you passed from death into life." He said that because you love the brethren. He said, "These things have been written unto you, that you may know that you have passed from death into life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Ladies and gentlemen, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have the Son of God, or do you not have the Son of God? Preach it. Preach what this Bible says. That's what we need in this generation. We have people giving their opinions. We have people preaching politics. We have people preaching all these other things. But we need some people that will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to these people out there that are strung out on pills and dope. It is the power of God to these drunkards that are out late in the gutters and lying in their vomits. It is the power of God to the people that are hooked on antidepressant medicine. It is the power of God to the people out in this world that are fornicators. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. It's the power of God, and it changes people's lives, and it changes sinners, and it passes them from death into life, and it makes them born again, and it makes them new. And that's what we need to preach. That's what Apostle Paul preached. That's what he preached. He wasn't entangled in the things of this life. Ladies and gentlemen, he was a man that was given over to the gospel of God. He said that he went publicly, house to house, warning every man night and day with tears. That's what Apostle Paul did. He went to house to house, and he dealt with people, and he warned them night and day with tears. Would to God that we had some young people in this generation that would give their lives to God to tell others about Jesus Christ and tell about the one that saves sinners and saves those that are wicked and ungodly.
Yes.
That's what he did. Gave his life completely to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You mark this one thing down. He talked about it. He said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." That's what Apostle Paul said. There's a crown of righteousness. That's not some earthly gift. That's not silver and gold, which moth doth corrupt. Ladies and gentlemen, the thieves, they break in and steal. That's not all that. There's a gift up there that thieves can't steal from you. There's a gift up there that the moth can't corrupt. God wants to give that to you for being faithful.
Yeah.
This is what he said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing." We need people that will live holy and clean. He said, "Be ye holy as I am holy."
Yes,
blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He said, "Without holiness, no man will see God." Ladies and gentlemen, God wants you to be pure in your heart. And the only way you'll get pure in your heart is reading and studying this precious Word of God. Let me tell you something. You're not going to be pure in your heart, filling your mind and filling your heart with a bunch of country, rap, and hip-hop, and rock and roll music. You're not going to be holy listening. listening to all that stuff that tells you how to be a fornicator, tells you how to be a drunk, tells you how to smoke dope, tells you how to live like the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no way you can be holy with all that stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants you to get all this ungodliness out of your heart. Get all the ungodliness out of your life so that you can be a clean vessel so that God can use you, ladies and gentlemen. That's what God wants in this generation. Apostle Paul, he was even willing to give his life. He suffered. You could go down the list of all the sufferings that Apostle Paul faced so that he could give people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is what the Bible says, that you're to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, for that's your reasonable service. That's nothing. God's not asking of you to do anything that's out of the ordinary. God's not asking you to do anything, ladies and gentlemen, that you shouldn't do. He said it's just a normal thing. He said that it is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. God don't want you to be conformed to this world. We have too many people conformed to this world. God wants you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to get this sin out of our hearts and lives. We wonder why America's going down the tubes and sodomites can get married and all this stuff's going on. It's because the church people have become like the world, and they've allowed sin to come into their lives, and we've allowed sin to come into the church. And saved people live just like lost. Saved people live just like lost people. And like the preacher said, it's always people that's been in the church that needed to be saved. They've waited for people out there to get saved. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you where the judgment needs to start. It needs to start at the house of God. That people would get their hearts right with God. That people would get saved by the grace of God and live holy and clean and separated unto God. That's what we need. He said, come out from among them. God don't want you out there in the rock and roll music. God don't want you out there in the filthy talking and the pornography. God don't want you out there doing it, ladies and gentlemen. It's unholy. It's unclean. And it brings a reproach on the things of God and the church and everything else. People are watching. I told us at our church, if you grow up in a church, young people, you mark this one thing down, that there's people out there that are waiting for you to fall. And they're sitting back because your mom and dad has told you to live clean, and they've told you the standards, and they've taught you the Bible, and they hate what the Bible says, and they look for the day that you would slip up and get out in rebellion and become an adulterer, a whoremonger, or a liar, or a dope head, or a drunk, so they can sit back and mock and make fun of the things of God. Ladies and gentlemen, God forbid that you let them have the right to sit around and make fun of your parents. God forbid that you let them sit around and make fun of your pastor and you bring a reproach on the church.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, God forbid that.
That's right.
God forbid that.
Yes.
Come out from among them and be separate.
Yep.
Get the sin out of your lives. You'll never have revival as long as you have sin. Unconfessed sin. You'll never have fellowship with God. He said, my hand's not short that it cannot save. My ear's not heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated you from your God and hidden where He faces. He said, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. That's what the Bible says. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not what I said. That's what the Bible says. As long as you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear your prayers. And that's what the Bible says. You need to get your heart cleaned out. We need to get our hearts cleaned out, ladies and gentlemen. America is being destroyed as we see it today. And America is decaying because of sin. And the church needs to get their hearts right with God, including me and everybody else. The church needs to get their hearts cleaned out. The church needs to get their lives cleaned out so that the Spirit of God can move through us one more time and affect the sinners and the ungodly and the drunkards and the dope heads and all the rest of them. That's what we need. Separation. Separation. Is there one that might say, I'll give my life to Jesus Christ? Whether I die or whether I live, I'll give my life to God. Is there just one person, one young person, that would be willing to say, I'd be willing to separate my life unto God? I'm done.
Yes, sir.